You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Kings fans come to their feet. Heald protects the dribble. The final seconds down to 12, ticking away. Dribble handoff goes to Frank Mason. Now, what a nice way to start your preseason. Doesn't mean a lick in terms of your regular season record, of course, but to see these young faces come out and get a victory against the Spurs, the final is 106 to 100.
Welcome in to another edition of Locked On Kings. Thank you so much for joining us. I am your host, Jason Ross, here on whether it's Google Play, Audio Boom, Stitcher, or iTunes. We thank you for listening, and how good is it to have NBA basketball back? Year two at Golden 1 Center, another season in Sacramento for the Kings, and I know it's just the preseason, but to see the guys playing Monday night at Golden 1 Center, it was just great to have them back out on the floor. It's a brief preseason. Coach Yeager said yesterday that this was basically an interruption of training camp. They started camp on Tuesday a week ago and now have a preseason game Monday and then get ready on for Friday, another preseason game, and then a bunch of preseason games. But just kind of an extension, of training camp with a game against another opponent, and that was the San Antonio Spurs on Monday night. By the way, we always say this, if you followed me for any amount of time on preseason game in any sport, don't really care about the score, but there was a game, there was a score. The Kings did win 106-100 for those that are concerned about that. But what I'm concerned about is how they looked, how they played. And that's what today's podcast will be, a breakdown of the Monday night preseason game. So for me, I was curious, and I've been talking about this for a little while, about what will the lineup look like? What will they do? How will that play out? And I don't know if night one was any indication of what the regular season opener against the Houston Rockets will be on the 18th. But what Coach Yeager did made 100% sense to me after I saw it. He started the five veterans that they have on the roster, the guys that not necessarily have been around here the longest, but been around the NBA the longest. You had George Hill and Garrett Temple starting in the backcourt, Vince Carter, Zach Randolph, and Kosta Koufos in the frontcourt. Nobody played very many minutes. I think Carter played the fewest at 738. And then the longest in that group, 9 minutes, 28 seconds for both Garrett Temple and Zach Randolph. That group set a good tone, got off to a good start, played a veteran Spurs team that started Kyle Anderson, LaMarcus Aldridge, Pau Gasol, Danny Green, and DeJounte Murray. Now, keep in mind, the Spurs did not have Rudy Gay at their disposal. He was there. He was good to see him back in the building, but he was not going to play. He's been cleared. He's been scrimmaging and practicing, which to me is still amazing, a medical miracle, basically, from popping that Achilles back on the Golden 1 floor in January to being able to be cleared to play for the Spurs in October. But to see him out there, at least in the Spurs uniform, they didn't have Kawhi Leonard, who they're resting the entire preseason with a minor injury, and then Tony Parker won't be available till about November. But it's still a pop team. It's still Ginobili off the bench and other familiar faces with some new ones in there. So a challenge. Anytime you're going out to compete with a Kings roster that is so young, I thought it made sense, though, of Coach Yeager to do what he did, to start Vince Carter, Zach Randolph, Kosta Koufos, Garrett Temple, and then George Hill. Those guys played that first group, first run, and then that was it. That was all that he really went to with that group. Coach elected to play 17 of the 19 guys that are on his roster. The only two that did not play, Marcus Williams, who was a late addition a week ago, and then Harry Giles, who they've been careful with, who's been practicing, and by all accounts practicing well. He did not give it a go on Monday night. Now, what I can see happening is the preseason rolls along, is Coach picking 3, 4, 5, 6 guys that'll say, you know what, you're not playing tonight at all, and then that makes it a little bit easier to disperse the minutes. And a couple of early observations, again, it's one preseason game, but a couple of things look to be holding true to what we thought could happen, at least going in, trying to do our analysis of this team before the season even started. Position battles. There are lots of minutes to be had out there, and there are lots of difficult decisions that are going to be taking place. And the thing that jumped out the most on Monday night's first preseason game is the point guards. I think going in, George Hill will start. I think he should start. I think a lot of Kings fans are excited about De'Aaron Fox, and I think you should be excited about De'Aaron Fox. And I also told you a while ago, I don't know how they're going to keep Frank Mason off the floor. So all three things happen on Monday night. All three guys played. All of them were good. And to me, in our little highlight montage we'll hear coming up here, To me, the standout of the night was the point guard play. The point guards, very, very strong. In fact, the entirety of the guard play was good. But I will start with a kind of a salute to the point guards of the Sacramento Kings.
Right elbow is Zach Randolph. Wears a white headband. Gives it off now to Costa Kufis on the left side of the floor. Rolls to his right. Gets in the paint. Little kick-out pass comes to Hill. He'll launch for three. He scores the triple. So the Kings go back on top. The Temple gives to Fox. Fox, who's in the near corner, shakes against Patty Mills. Gets a screen from Zeebo. Rolls into the lane. His teardrop floater is good. On his first attempt in the NBA officially, the Fox makes it 24-18 in favor of Sacramento. Little left-hand floater, teardrop. LeBissiere with six on the clock. Now back to Fox, got to create. Looks left, goes right, reaches left, scores! Drive to the basket by De'Aaron Fox. He was in attack mode that time with the shot clock winding down. He has 6 points since coming in off the bench. And the lead is five for the Kings at 38-33. Mason on the run, he's going to the rim. He scoops, he scores! Nicely done. The last three buckets for Sacramento scored by Frank Mason. Here's Fox breaking down the defense, sets up the alley-oop. Great finish on the throwdown by Scalabissiere from the left baseline. Kings fans are excited, and I look down and I see all the bench up as well. That was well received. Yorgos Papayannis has come in to play in the big man role. Here's Fox with a pop-up on the right wing. That's his first perimeter shot of the night, and it's good. Sierra now has 13 points. Malachi Richardson back to the Fox, up and down to the rack. Look at the finish by De'Aaron Fox. Oh, is this going to be fun to watch this young man develop in the NBA. He has 15 points in his debut. And they're down to three in the clock. Frank's got to go. He rocks in rhythm. He launches for three. He buries the triple. Frank Mason, the third, says, I'll give you three more. And the Kings lead 96-89. He has 17 points.
All right, so you heard the highlights, and this is a different group, right? It's no longer Darren Collison, no longer Ty Lawson, none of the guys trying to play the point. George Hill started, set a great tone. In his under 9 minutes played, 2 of 3, made a three-pointer, 5 assists, no turnovers, and 5 points. 5 points, 5 assists, and 9 minutes without a turnover. Excellent. He played really, really well. Then they unleashed the rookie, De'Aaron Fox. You heard the highlights there from the G-Man. De'Aaron Fox, the speed that we thought he had, evident. It's so clear. It's so obvious. And he has a chance to be a special player. I don't want to jump the gun. I don't think we need to do that. If you watch the game, if you saw it in person, you can hear it in the highlights. He's got a gift. And you can't teach things like height, speed, quickness, different things like that. He's got that speed and quickness. And in his minutes that he played, just under 17 minutes, he went 7 of 8 from the floor, hit 2 of 3 from the free throw line, 2 assists, 1 rebound. He did not turn the ball over. So those are great point guard minutes for him, and he scored 16 points in the game. And then Frank Mason played the most of the three, played 22 minutes, went 5 of 10, hit 2 threes, 5 of 6 from the foul line, had 6 rebounds, so he rebounded well. He had an assist, and he had just 1 turnover. So the point guards, to me, clearly the standout of preseason game number one between the trio of George Hill, De'Aaron Fox, and Frank Mason. So kind of projecting onto the regular season, I still see George Hill as the starter. Obviously, there's going to be a ton of minutes for De'Aaron Fox. I could see those two playing together at times. And then Frank Mason's got to crack the lineup. I mean, I know it's one night, but this is not just from preseason game number one. This is from Summer League. This is from his college experience. And we're going to hear from Coach Yeager coming up. He'll describe him. He'll tell you an accurate description of him, of what he, how he plays, what he means, and what he can provide. And it's just a toughness, and the similarities to me, not in the way that they play, but he reminds me of Isaiah Thomas in the situation that he's in, where Isaiah was drafted last. So second round picks oftentimes don't make teams. Isaiah impressed enough that he made the team. Then it was, hey, this guy's pretty good. We got to get him some rotation minutes or some minutes. Then he gets in the rotation. Then he becomes a guy they play a lot. Then he becomes a starter, and then he blossoms into a 20-point scorer and now has been an all-star. I don't know if Frank Mason's going to do all of that. My point is I can see the similarities where, hey, he's impressed us enough to make the team. Frank Mason's going to make the team. Then it's, you know what, we got to find some minutes for him. And then it becomes, how do we keep him off the floor? So I can see it is a great problem to have, but also a difficult one for the coach. And some of those early premonitions that I was alluding to of, Where do the minutes go? How do you play these guys? These will be difficult decisions for the coaching staff. Other things that stood out in the Monday night preseason game, I thought the second-year guys showed well, too. I thought we saw some decent moments from Willie Cauley-Stein, though he did foul out, 6 fouls in 15 minutes. I thought Papayannis had his ups and downs. There were moments where he went, oh, man, Yorgos, you're struggling. But he also showed some discipline and some other moves, and he played in 21 minutes, had 8 points and 5 rebounds. Buddy Hield and Scalabissiere, the other two double-digit scorers, they had some very productive minutes, 7 of 10 and 6 of 10 shooting for those two guys. 15 points for Scal, 12 points for Buddy Hield. Buddy can flat-out score. I mean, there's just no doubt about that. And Scal had a strong showing. The guys that I would say that played the most minutes that were the least impressive, and again, this is being critical of a preseason game, but Justin Jackson, who I think is a guy that's going to get some floor time, was 0 for 7, so he just didn't make his shots. And then Malachi Richardson, 1 of 5, also didn't make his shots, but trying to find his role. We saw a little bit of Jack Cooley and Jakar Sampson and Bogdanovich. He also 2 points, 3 rebounds, but again, looks like a guy that's belong. He wasn't super aggressive, played 13 minutes, but I'm also excited to see what he ultimately can become. But I think the challenge, like we said earlier, for Coach Yeager will be distributing minutes, finding where to play guys, and really how to utilize the entirety of this roster. This isn't a roster with an all-star. This isn't an all-star with a bunch of super high-level players, but you had guys that were those guys before. Vince Carter was. Zach Randolph has been that guy. Can they still find some of that? George Hill, as we mentioned before, has been a guy that's rated in the top 100 in the NBA, the only king that's there. You've got professionals like Kufis and Temple, and then young talent that they are hoping that blossoms. And you could see the potential of a guy like Scalabissiere, of Willie Cauley-Stein, of Buddy Hield, and certainly of De'Aaron Fox. But other guys that are going to be in there and contributing and making this a difficult decision for Coach Yeager. So speaking of Coach Yeager, let's hear what he had to tell the media after the Kings' 106-100 win to the Spurs.
Good first night to get everybody some run. I wanted to get those other guys in there at the end, and once it got to be to 6 minutes, I didn't want to disrupt the flow of a game and somebody who's been sitting there and then play 3 minutes. And at that point, also, you have an opportunity to put guys in situations, especially guys like Scal coming down the stretch, minutes. And any time I think you can have that experience, that's positive. So we saw a lot of good things. I thought De'Aaron and kind of exploded into the lane at different times, and guys have to learn how to, I'm half horse because I'm yelling at guys to run, and you should want to run. You play with a guy that fast and how we'd like to play, we'd like to get the ball up and down the floor. So there's a lot of defensive breakdowns that were a lot of individual things that we can work on, because then it looked like, they're just swinging the ball over after the penetration. But we'll get better at that and keep working on our technique on that, and then we can do some other things there too.
Coach, there was times where George Hill or Vince Carter, Garrett Temple, they were pulling players over and having conversations with them in the middle of the game. Is that something you want, these veterans coaching and helping out?
Yeah, there has to be once we get to know each other a little bit, there has to be boundaries, because I'm talking to them, six assistant coaches are talking to them, their peers are talking to them, then an old guy who's going to go to the Hall of Fame starts putting his arm around him, and all of a sudden your smoke starts coming out like, yeah. And so as we learn each other, we'll pick and choose our spots. But the answer is it's very positive, for those guys to hear from those guys that, man, this is what we've been talking about all week in practice. I told you, to keep an eye out for this, or, when you keep keeping your hands on them, they're going to call fouls, or, translating one to the other from the practice floor to the game floor. So I think that's very positive, especially in the preseason.
Thanks. Coach, De'Aaron, Labissiere, Buddy, Frank, they were 24 for 38 from the field. I know you like that start. I know it's just a preseason game, but that – did I get kind of, give them a little confidence?
I thought guys did some things well, and, there's some other things that we didn't do well at all and very poorly, and some of the, it's just a mixed bag. But I think you can feel positive that, guys play with a pretty pure heart, You know what I mean? And the spirit you got to love. And the energy of the youth is fantastic. So it just takes time to keep teaching and keep drilling and keep showing the video. Tomorrow will be a big video day in the morning.
Coach, it's kind of long I want to ask you. It's one thing to work with the guys in practice and show them things from practice. How beneficial is it now to have some film against a different opponent and allow the guys to see the things you've talked about against another opponent to be able to kind of...
Yeah, it is. It's definitely good. I mean, you know, we had a scrimmage yesterday, so that was positive. And then also it'll be interesting because we play the same team Friday, you know what I mean? Like, okay, what did you learn? Not only in our own game, but also, you know, we didn't go over any of their plays. They didn't go over any of our plays because it's everybody's first game. So, what did you learn? What did you pick up? How can you be better? Because, you know, that's their home game and they'll be fired up to play and different guys that I'm going to play. And it'll be a good challenge for us.
Dave, Frank Mason's a little bit older for a rookie with you. Have you seen his age, the fact he's played 4 years of college ball, are you seeing any, the transition will be any easier for him? It hasn't been through camp.
No, I think, you know, Frank's got guts. You know, that'll translate over everything. But as far as the experience and stuff, and what his role is in the NBA versus what it was as the best player at his college in a great college and a great conference. So that is always interesting as guys come in and then your role is different here, but not only on this team, but kind of in the NBA. And if I'm going to figure that out, it's going to take him, you know, a little while.
Well, I told you would describe Frank Mason, his last comment there about Frank. The guy's got guts, a tough guy. Coach alluded to some of the defensive breakdowns, some of the other things that he just wants to see the team tighten up, which I'm sure they will do. I mean, that's naturally going to happen over more practice time, a second run at it against the Spurs. A road game is always another challenge. And again, don't get caught up in the preseason wins and losses. If the Kings win them all or they lose the next five, that's not a telltale sign of what's to come in the regular season. But just keep watching rotations, who's getting minutes, who's playing with whom. These are all things that the coach is trying to figure out. Other things we knew the team wanted to do. We talked with Jason Jones yesterday on the podcast, looking for pace, looking to push the ball a little bit more. I think the Kings didn't get a ton of fast break points. Let me look at that final number. In fact, they only had four, but it felt like there was more of a moving the ball up the floor, getting it earlier in the shot clock in the half court. And I felt like there was a more concerted effort to do that. There was just a better feel and flow and ball movement to everything that they were doing. And that's not a slam on DeMarcus or Rudy, but that's where those two guys shined the best as far as getting the ball half court, making decisions, and they would move the ball some. DeMarcus probably more so than Rudy, but it felt better. It felt like the ball had energy, like Doug Christie likes to say. It was moving around. Everybody was touching it. They were making the right passes. Just by the end, there was a little bit too high a turnover number with 17. But I like the assist total. I like the way it was moved. They shot the ball well for the entirety of the game, 52%. And the only other thing I would say about the game analysis would be probably fouled too much. I thought there were some questionable calls for whatever that's worth. But they did, you know, Coach Malone, his old saying used to be defend without fouling. The Kings, I thought, were defending okay, but they did foul too much and gave the Spurs 27 free throw attempts. But those are all things that are fixable, workable, and we'll see where they go from here. But again, 17 points from Frank Mason led the way off the bench, 16 from De'Aaron Fox, 15 for Scal, and 12 from Buddy Hield. One other note about the game, and just anybody that was at the game or listened to it and followed the flow, I compliment the NBA. I'm not the guy that is worried about game length and time. To me, sports, it's our escape. If it's 2.5-hour game, if it's a 2-hour game, a 4-hour game, I'm in it. I'm in it from start to finish. Obviously, I'm working it, but as a fan, if I go to a football game or a baseball game, I'm rooting for more overtimes or extra innings, all those kind of things. Well, every sport is kind of concerned with where we are in our society as far as length of games and making it a good night out for everybody involved. So the NBA did a couple little tweaks as far as the timing of their game and cut out 4 timeouts. To me, it was so noticeable in the first game. And I don't know if as a fan anybody checked it out and noticed it, but every quarter now is a timeout under 7 minutes, under 3 minutes, so there's 2 per quarter that are guaranteed. They took away 4 complete timeouts. There's no more 20-second timeouts. There will be plenty of timeouts at the end of game situations, but it just felt like there were longer stretches of basketball being played. Sometimes you could have a mandatory timeout in the old way, and then another timeout taken within 30 seconds to 45 seconds. This one had chunks of game time that flowed. It just felt like it was a, I don't know if the game, let me look at the game time. It took 2 hours and 5 minutes. I don't know if it was really necessarily any faster. It just had a better flow to me, even with the whistles that were taking place. But we'll see. We'll monitor that and see if that becomes a thing in the regular season. But preseason game number one under the belt. Kings win that one 106-100. We thank you for listening to Locked On Kings. We're back again tomorrow for another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Just one look at you, and I know it's gone.